Let us turn again to Ephesians chapter 6. This will be my last message from Ephesians on Wednesday evening at this time. But I want to read the entire passage once again, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Tonight, I want us to consider the final words of the Apostle Paul in this letter, verses 21 through 24. My message has two parts. First, a messenger and his mission, and then second, the apostle's benediction. First, a messenger and his mission. A messenger whose name was Tychicus, which means fortunate. The name Tychicus means fortunate. Could not help but think as I saw that how fortunate, how blessed he was to be a companion of the Apostle Paul. Now, here are four things that we know about Tychicus from five scriptures in which he is named. In our Bibles, there are five scriptures in which Tychicus is mentioned. This is one of them. And then there are two places where he is named that have been added. They are not part of the scripture. As you see at the very end of this letter, if you have a Bible like I do, at the very last it says, written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. The same thing is found in the letter of Colossians. So there's five scriptures which speak of Tychicus, and then these two places that have been added by the translators. First, we know, here's the first thing that we see from another verse of Scripture. First, we know from Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, where he was named along with six other companions of the Apostle Paul, and we are told there that he was of Asia. Now, of those seven men that are mentioned there, it seems like all of them, for the most part, maybe not all of them, but the writer Luke of the book of Acts, he tells us the names of these that traveled with Paul and where they came from, or where they originated. And he tells us concerning Tychicus that he was of Asia. He, along with Trophimus, those two men are both named there. They were from Asia. Since Ephesus was the capital of Asia, then many of the commentators suppose or surmise that in all probability Tychicus was from the city of Ephesus. That's the first thing. The second thing we know from this text and from the text in Colossians 4 and verse 7 that he is the one who carried these letters, the letters of Paul from Rome, both to the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae. And third, we know from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 that he carried that letter, that second letter to Timothy that Paul wrote. Tychicus, he's the one who carried the letter to Timothy. And four, we know from Titus chapter 3 and verse 12 that Paul planned to send him or Artemis to Crete. That's where Titus was, remember, on the island of Crete. That's where Paul had left him, that he might set things in order there in the churches that had been raised up through their ministry. And Paul planned to either send him, Tychicus, or Artemis to Crete to replace Titus. But let's look tonight at the two truths that the Apostle Paul states about him in verse 21. The first truth is he was a beloved brother. A beloved brother. All of God's elect, all of God's children are beloved of God and chosen in Christ to salvation. Notice, if you will, back in chapter 1, the apostle declares this at the very beginning of this letter. All of God's elect, all of his children are beloved of God and chosen in Christ to salvation. Here in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You know, we sometimes say, "The Lord bless you." And we mean it, don't we, when we say that. But we know in our hearts, he's already blessed us. If we're one of his children, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ before the world began. We've already been blessed. All of God's children have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. God's children have all been blessed in Christ Jesus, as the scripture here says, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, not because we were holy, no, that we should be holy, not that we were without blame, oh no, we were sinful. No, he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All of God's children are beloved of God, chosen in Christ to salvation. Paul says about Tychicus, he was a beloved brother. At the Lord's baptism, we know that God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He is God's beloved Son, and all who trust in him as their Lord and Savior are also beloved of the Father and of the Son. God's family, a beloved brother, God's family love each other. That's just so. All of those who are part of God's family are loved of God, chosen of God, and born of God, and we love one another. The Apostle John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." The term beloved, I looked it up in the Song of Solomon. I looked it up to see who is called the beloved in the Song of Solomon. And I found that it's used many times in the song, and each time it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Each time the term beloved is there in the Song of Solomon, it has reference to the bridegroom, to Christ our Lord. He is the church's beloved. And in that book, he speaks of his bride as his love, his love. He is the Father's beloved. He is our beloved, and we are his love, his spouse, his bride. All of the household of God are beloved and love one another, and yet in God's providence, I speak for myself, and I know I speak for all of us here tonight, in God's providence, there have been some brothers and sisters in Christ, we love all of them, but there have been some, for one reason or another, that we have come to especially love. I can just imagine that this was the case with Tychicus and the Apostle Paul. They had labored together in the ministry. They had preached together. They had prayed together. They had suffered together, and they loved one another. My beloved brother. That's the first thing we see here about Tychicus. And the churches to whom the Apostle Paul sent him, the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae, they loved him also, and he loved them. The second thing we are told about him. First, he was a beloved brother. What higher commendation could any of us have or aspire to in the family of God? A beloved brother, a beloved sister. Nothing greater, nothing higher than that, is there? A beloved brother, an apostle referring to us. The Lord himself referring to us as his love. The second thing that we are told about him, he was a faithful minister in the Lord. I spoke with a pastor friend recently, about 2 weeks ago, and in our conversation, he said something to this effect. I cannot remember exactly the word he used, but he said this, that the gauge of every minister and the gauge of every minister's ministry is not the size of his congregation. It's not the length of time of his ministry or anything like that. The one gauge, I believe he said, the one gauge is, the one gauge of success, he used the word success in the ministry, the one gauge of success in the ministry is God enabled him to be faithful. God enables him to be faithful to his calling. You know, in one of our Lord's parables, I think it's found in Matthew, I believe 25, but in Matthew, He told about a king or a man who was going on a journey, And he gave talents to some of his servants. Now, he didn't give the same number of talents to each one. To one man he gave five, one man he gave three, one man he gave one. And that's the way the Lord works with those that he calls and puts into the ministry. Not every man has the same talent. Not every man has the same gift. But every man is to use that talent, whatever it is, or those talents that God gives him to be faithful in serving the Lord. And you know, when the Lord in that parable came back, he found that the man that had received five talents and the man who had received three talents, the Lord commended him, commended them. And what a commendation was it? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the one man who was slothful and lazy did not use his talent. In fact, he said he hid it in a napkin and covered it up. What did the Lord say about him? He said that he was a wicked and a slothful servant. Tychus was a faithful servant. A faithful servant of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul said it like this: moreover, it is required in stewards. And he's talking about men who've been made stewards of the grace of God, stewards of the gospel. He's committed to our trust the gospel message. And he said, this is the one thing that is required of every steward to whom God commits the gospel, and that is, he be faithful. That he be faithful. What is a faithful minister? What does it mean to be a faithful minister? Tychus was one, according to what Paul says, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. What makes a faithful minister? What does it mean to be a faithful minister? Well, a faithful minister in the Lord is one who, first of all, is faithful to his Lord. He's faithful to his Lord to be where God sends him, where God puts him, and to labor there faithfully. He's to be faithful to his Lord. And second, a faithful minister is one who's faithful to the Lord's gospel. He doesn't change the gospel. He doesn't take off the rough edges, you know, to try to make the gospel more acceptable and more palatable to those who listen. He doesn't take off the rough edges. And usually the rough edges are actually the horns that make the gospel the power of God unto salvation. When men think they can improve upon God's gospel and make it more acceptable, what we're doing or what they're doing, if he's not a faithful minister of the gospel, he's trimming off the very things that God would use in calling his people. People say, Why do you have to talk about election? Because God did. Why do you have to talk about total depravity? Because the Lord did. Someone told me he was witnessing, and he was witnessing to someone who professed to be a Christian, and he asked this person, he said, are you evil? Oh, no, I'm not evil. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father shall give good things to them that ask him. If you then, being evil, all men are evil. All men are fallen. All men are depraved. All men are sinful. Well, why do you have to say that? Why do you have to emphasize that? Why can't you talk about how all men have a spark of goodness? Buried down there somewhere in their heart, there's a cord, there's a string down there somewhere. If we can just Just touch it. That spark is going to break forth and end in being a Christian. There is no spark. There is no life. How dead is dead. How blind is blind. How deaf is deaf. That's our condition by nature. A faithful minister is one who is faithful to the gospel message that Christ died for his people. We don't preach a redemption that made salvation possible. What hope does that give a person? No, we know that Christ died for his people. He redeemed his people. His blood saves his people, justifies his people. It's not his blood plus, his death plus. Oh no, it's his death only upon the cross. He was a faithful minister, Paul said. He's faithful to his Lord. He's faithful to the gospel. And third, he was faithful to the Lord's people. That's what makes a faithful minister of the gospel. He's faithful to the Lord's people, to prepare and study and preach the gospel to them. A faithful minister in the Lord is one who is faithful to his Lord, to the Lord's gospel, and to the Lord's people. Now notice, here's the second thing that Paul says about this man. His mission. His mission. Paul sends him to Ephesus carrying this letter, but he sends him on a mission. He was to report Paul's affairs. Notice that in verse 22. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. You see, there's two things there, right? That you might know Paul's affairs, and that he might comfort God's people. They would be interested. They were sure to be interested. What is the Apostle Paul doing? Where is he? What's going on in his life? Well, Tychicus, he was the man who was going to answer that. He was going to make them aware of Paul's affairs. I'm sure if you look in Acts chapter 28 with me just a moment, no doubt this is one of the things that he reported concerning Paul in Acts chapter 28 and the last two verses here. Luke tells us that Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house. What's he doing? He's in a house. He's living in a rented house. He's living in a rented house, and he receives all that come unto him. I mentioned that last Wednesday. He didn't have the freedom he had had before, freedom to go, but he had freedom to receive men who came to him, and he witnessed to them the gospel, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him. And not only was he to make them aware of Paul's affairs, but you notice it says he was to comfort, that he might comfort your hearts. That's one of the requirements for God's preachers. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her. Her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. That's how God's people are comforted, isn't it? The message which proclaims to us that salvation has been accomplished. The Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work which the Father gave him to do. And our iniquity is pardoned. It's put away. Why? Because of his sacrifice in our stead. Now, the second thing, and I'll be more brief with this, the apostle's benediction in verses 23 and 24. First, peace. Peace to the brethren. This was a very common way of greeting among the Jews. And the term peace carried the meaning of prosperity. Prosperity. Be prosperous. Both outward and inward prosperity. This is what we read in 3 John, verse 2, that John wrote. Read this verse quickly. Beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Peace, peace to the brethren. Prosper in the affairs of life, and as John Gill commented, the success of this sort depends upon the blessing of God. Prosperity in this life depends upon the blessing of God. It is God who giveth the power to get wealth. You know, God is in control of these things, isn't he? And his providence rules in the lives of his children, actually in the lives of all people. Yes. Look with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. These are Paul's last words to the church, to the believers in the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. He said, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Peace among the brethren. Second, love with faith. As members of the family of God, every person who is a brother or sister in Christ has these two graces, faith and love. No one is saved who doesn't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't have love for Christ. These two graces are in every child of God, but these graces may grow. They may increase. Both graces may be increased. And like every thing that, if you want to build up your muscles, what do you have to do? You have to use those muscles. If we want to grow in these graces, what must we do? We must use our faith. We need for the body, the physical body, to grow and increase, we need a good diet. Spiritually, we need a good diet, the Word of God. We need a good environment. Here we are, right, with the believers, with the children of God. And we need to exercise. Those are three things if we want to grow physically and mature and increase physically. Our diet, our environment, and the use of these things. The same thing is true in these spiritual graces of faith and love. We must exercise them. And this faith, Paul says in Galatians, is a faith that worketh by love. Both of these graces, they come from God the Father and God the Son, and they are also increased by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Love and faith. And then the last thing, grace. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, he said that this was the token of every epistle that he wrote. And you can go through all of these epistles, beginning in Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, come all the way through to the last one, and you will see at the very end, maybe not exactly at the end, but close to the end, this token you're going to find, the grace. He's going to mention the grace of the Lord be with you all. Grace is a favorite theme of all true believers because it is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. We read that passage in Romans chapter 5 at the beginning of the service, and there the apostle pictures grace as a reigning monarch, who reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a book among my books. You know, I have a few books that I've read more than once. And I have some books that I could write in them, like Spurgeon said, in case of fire, throw this one in. But I have some books that I've read more than once. And one of those books is entitled The Reign of Grace by Abraham Booth. I'd encourage anyone to get that book and read it. The Reign of Grace. Grace, God's unmerited favor. It reigns in our election. We were chosen. How? By grace. Grace. God didn't look down and see something about you that was worthy of Him choosing you. Oh, no. It was great. Unmerited favor. Election reigns in effectual calling. Why did He call you? Maybe you and someone that you know, someone maybe in your family, you both heard the same gospel, sat in the same seats, heard the same preacher, and yet God called you and didn't call the other person. What is that? That's grace, the reign of grace. Grace reigns in our election, in our calling, in our adoption, in our justification, in our sanctification, and in our full pardon. It's all grace, 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 unmerited favor. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. I trust the Lord would bless these words and thoughts to all of us here this evening. We'll sing a hymn, and we'll be dismissed in prayer.